Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Baby, sitting blues.
Guilty Movie Pleasure fans, we are here. We're talking this glorious song that's accompanying us. We're talking Adventures in Babysitting. It's a classic. I love this movie. We have a special guest here, Megan Tonjes.
Yes.
This was her recommendation.
It was.
Thank you for this.
You're welcome. About it on Between the Sheets, on your episode of Between the Sheets, and we've been trying. You're on the road a lot.
Yes.
So psyched to do it here. And always here with me is my buddy Ben Begley. His movie, The Funhouse Massacre, got another weekend in the theater.
Yeah.
So congratulations. Claps for Ben.
Thank you. You can check it out at funhousemassacremovie.com for your local show time.
I went to see it on Friday, and my girlfriend, she was really scared. I was like, it's pretty funny. And she's like, no, it's really scary. And then woke up the next morning, and she was like, I can't believe they let that so-and-so survive. And I was like, all right, I don't want to give away the movie.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler.
That's
but
so-and-so.
Congrats, man. It was super fun.
Thank you.
It's at AMC City Walk, so if you want to go check it out.
I'm going to go creep on it.
It's awesome.
If you live in LA, it's at City Walk and the Orange County block.
Okay.
And I don't venture down there, but it's doing really well. We tied with Spectre for critical reviews, and we beat them with audience reviews. We're at a 63% critic reviews and 91% audience reviews.
Well done, Ben.
Killing it.
Yeah. Funhouse Massacre movie. If you saw it, tweet me a photo with you holding the ticket. I want to retweet my GMP fans. They've been going out in droves and really being supportive. So thank you, GMP fans, for that.
And if we're talking about a babysitting massacre,
see what I did there?
What?
This movie's fantastic.
It is. This movie, I'll tell you what, there are two things that always get me in this movie. One is anytime I'm in a mechanic shop or something happens with like a tow truck, I immediately go to this movie.
Yep.
Every time. Because like, my dad was a car dealer growing up, so anytime I was in like the actual mechanic shops, I expected somebody to just like lower down on the thing with a big hammer, Thor style. And then anytime I'm in an office building that is all glass, I think to myself, could I survive on the outside of a glass building?
It's similar to the John McClane thing. It's the Sarah and John McClane thing, where Sarah in the Thor costume, she's she's pulling a John McClane in this
movie,
and she survives.
Absolutely.
I always think of I find myself whistling to this day when I'm like walking around a store alone or something and like looking for things, unconsciously going,
oh no, that gives me chills.
Which is the creepy hook man's whistle.
I don't like it.
I catch myself and I'm like, people must think I'm, unless they love Adventures in Babysitting, they just think I'm a weird creeper
the
in this store right now.
Most terrifying.
Ugh.
For me, it's every time I get out of the shower and I'm like getting ready for the day. I do like that little dance. And I wish that I had like that four poster bed. Like, I'm still so mad about it.
She walked up to me and he asked me if I wanted to dance.
There's a lot of this.
And then this classic 80s pose with the head on the back and then the head off the bed.
She is jamming in that opening.
She's crushing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about how infinitely charming Elizabeth Shue is?
Yes.
She's perfect.
Fantastic. And this movie,
even as a hooker with a drug and alcohol problem and leaving Las Vegas, I'm still like, listen.
Yeah,
it's Elizabeth Shue.
She is adorable. That's the cutest hooker, alcoholic, drug addict I've ever seen.
Yes.
She's in most of my guilty pleasure movies,
I feel like.
The Saint. I would say The Saint is
Saint's
another favorite.
Pretty
That's
solid.
A pretty good movie.
She's Val Kilmer, right?
Yeah.
She's great in Hamlet 2 with Steve Coogan, where she plays herself.
Oh, yes.
She's fantastic in that, where like he goes to the hospital and he realizes Elizabeth Shue is now working at a hospital, and he's like, this is the classic actress Elizabeth Shue. She's fantastic. And they're all like, who? And it's so funny. She's so self-deprecating and
weirdly
great
enough, in this movie, we have Keith Coogan. So she's played with two different Coogans from
two different families.
So many Coogans.
Hey, and then there's a Macuga.
Too many.
Coogan Macuga.
Sorry,
it sounds like a law firm.
You can't stop saying your last name after the podcast. I mean, Keith just walked around the house saying Macuga. It's beautiful.
Coogan and Macuga.
I'm done. You guys can take the show. No, this, man, I'll tell you what. This movie, anytime it's on TV.
Yeah.
Okay, what was that movie? I was trying to think. I'm on my way over here thinking about it. The one with Jonah Hill when it was basically Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, the Sitter.
Oh,
the
Sitter. Yeah.
Didn't even come close to
this.
No.
And it was the last shot, a complete ripoff of Adventures in Babysitting.
Does he kiss a girl and they have that song going, and then she kissed me.
No.
No, so it's not that.
No.
But
what last shot are you talking about then?
No, the shot of like the kids in the window looking down.
Oh, okay.
The kids in the window looking down on
the
Jonah Hill. I was like,
damn.
That's Adventures in Babysitting. It's almost the exact same house.
Damn.
This movie, though, is the quintessential 80s of what I've been talking about lately is that it's not so much about the joke as it is about the journey.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Because National Lampoon's Vacation, the newest one,
yeah, mm-hmm.
The first one with Chevy Chase, obviously, is it's all about the story. There are a lot of good jokes in there,
yeah,
but it's more about the story.
Yeah.
This one was all about, it was just 8 poop jokes separated into vignettes.
The new vacation, just so we clear that up, yeah.
Where if they were to remake Adventures in Babysitting, they're like, how many...
The Sitter.
Yeah. It's just not as good. It's
you know why? Because
there.
All the comedy in this is situational,
yeah.
And then they have a funny joke thrown in there,
mm-hmm.
But the situations are funny and outlandish and bizarre, like the car thief with a heart of gold.
Yes.
Oh, I
love him, too.
And just little bits. The thing with the 80s comedies that I love, this specifically kind of this genre of 80s comedies, is they had this innocence to them. They had this, like, fun, lighthearted, you're watching it and you realize that downtown, the scary parts of downtown, they would have just been murdered in the street. They
right.
Like, if you run into some car thieves, they're not going to stop because a blues singer goes, nobody leaves here without singing the blues,
right,
you know?
Right.
There is so, but it's this innocence and this fun, and you feel like you're back in a time capsule that could only happen in the 80s.
And a lot of these 80s movies, too, there was this, like, uncanny ability for kids to fight mobsters.
Yeah.
Like, they always beat mobsters. Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
Adventures in Babysitting.
It's kids always coming after adults,
well, I mean,
really.
Monster Squad, they fight monsters.
Yeah, like, it's these kids beating the mobsters because the mobsters always tend to be like, oh, I'm one step behind, followed by these kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
And this movie does it perfect.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I feel like why it doesn't work as well for movies nowadays is, A, we're adults now. But, B, I think that it wasn't...
But are we...
No.
Almost.
But I think they were written better, I feel like, back in the 80s. There's like a, mm-hmm. there's a flow to
Again,
it. And like
it's more about the journey
It's
than
more
it
about
is the
journey.
Joke.
It's not about just throwing in a bunch of underpants jokes for kids to laugh
and
at.
And it would be a different movie now because there's so many ways that this could be solved with just cell phones and
yes.
Uber.
Yes.
Like, Brett, let's say
$50.
She'd Venmo you $50 on her parents' credit card and be like, I'll see you in a few hours.
I can't.
Like,
yeah.
I can't wait to get into Brenda being the worst friend on the planet.
Brenda's awful.
But Brenda is the most successful actress of anybody that was in this movie, besides Elizabeth Shue and then Brenda.
Yeah.
She plays the mom in Kindergarten Cop.
She was in The Relic.
Yeah, The Relic.
That movie's
solid.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Killing
we should
it.
Do that on here.
That's the
listen,
next one.
Yeah, there you go. Brenda's the worst. I feel like
when did you first see this? Did you see it in theaters or no?
No, not theaters. It's 87, so I was 5.
That was 5.
I feel like I probably saw it around age 7 or 8, though.
It felt terrifying as a kid. Like, imagining going to the city and being on the expressway without...
The hook guy scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, everything terrified me. And watching it back, I was like, this is still, like, I feel a little bit of that, but it's not as intense as a kid looking at this and thinking, oh my God, that's what happens when you go in the city, and how do they get the train
The gang scene when I was a kid?
Oh, when on the bus? Oh, the train?
I think because I was such an impressionable kid, too, is anytime there was a movie where something bad happened on a subway, I was never going to go on a subway my whole life.
Yeah, it was
anything
very
bad
extreme.
Happened in a park, I'm never going to a
never
park.
Never going to a park.
Anything bad happened, like, downtown, I'm not going downtown. My dad's
no
like,
way.
You want to go to a Penguin game tonight? He's like, it's downtown. I'm
it's
not downtown. Going downtown.
No.
Right,
I've seen movies.
The part where they say, nobody fucks with the babysitter, my mom would cover my ears during that. So, like, she knew it was coming because they had seen it before me, and she would rush over and cover my ears. I could clearly still say that she was saying, fuck.
Yeah.
But like my
your
mom,
mother cared.
She covered my eyes. She covered my eyes when the Playboy centerfold opened up. So for the longest time, I thought there were boobs in this movie.
But you know, there's no boobs in this
there's
movie.
No
there's
nuts.
Like one random boob. And in the second Playboy, you see a boob.
You do?
Because the second
you were looking Playboy, for it. I didn't even see it.
He paused that as a kid. He was fast forwarding.
Have you met me?
Yeah, frame by frame.
Have you met me? Have you seen my mustache?
Yeah, okay, look at this thing.
I paused for boobs.
Donate to Movember, guys. No, they're in the Playboy that the mobsters are trying to hunt down, you do see her boobs. But in the Playboy that Elizabeth Shue is supposedly in, there is no boobs. She's in a sweater.
Yeah, she has like a weird kind of like boa.
Yes.
And then I love that the whole thing hinges on, we got the notes for the Philly job.
Yeah.
And they don't really ever say what it is. They're like, even at the end, he's like, I guess this was kind of important to them.
Yeah. See, this would have been on a cell phone today.
Yes.
Like, they would have written these notes. They would have been on the cloud.
A Google shared doc like, somewhere.
Yeah. And when the guy's like, where are the notes? And he's like, where's the Playboy?
Oh,
and
he's like,
I took the Playboy to the office. There was this article I wanted to read. And it's like, ooh.
Creepy.
As a kid, you never got that he meant he.
Yeah.
And what kind of a person takes notes on a colored picture? Like, you have to use a certain kind of marker in order to read those notes.
But that's what's so great about 80s movies is there's no logic. Yeah. There's no internal logic to this movie at all in 80% of the film. But it's so fun because you just escape and you go for the ride. Like,
yeah, you have to go for it.
Now, I've never been. You're from Michigan.
I am.
So you've been to Chicago a few times.
I have.
Yeah.
Chicago gets violent in areas.
Chicago, as a kid, I probably imagined it just like this. But having been to Chicago as an adult, I don't recognize anything that's
happening.
There's boroughs in Chicago that
are super dangerous.
Oh, I'm sure.
But where like, we'd go, like Wrigleyville or something, it's not that bad.
I don't know what train station she's driving to.
Yeah.
But, it's 11:30 p.m. and everyone's out. Like, it's very weird.
Wait, you didn't take the sound clip of Crazy Downtown, did you, that I sent?
It's up there, I think.
Okay, I want to play that at some point. Or Scary Downtown. That's my
scary
favorite.
Downtown.
Because this is how they set up. Oh, I don't think it is.
Is it not there?
Oh.
Damn it. I have it on my phone. I can just play it into the microphone. Well, we should do the plot first, anyways.
Yeah. I think, let's pull up the timer real
scary
quick.
Scary, the guy with the gun?
Yeah. Well, and I've only really been in like 3 bus stations. One in New York City, one in Pittsburgh, and one in Philadelphia. Every time I'm there, I just think, if a rat comes, I'm going to make that cat joke, and it's going to kill. I'm just waiting for that rat to show up.
What are you, monsters? It's a poor kitty cat.
I feel
that's
like
a giant sewer rat.
Brenda's experience in the train station just terrified me. Like, I thought that's all public transportation.
And for a girl
who
wears glasses,
I was done. I was like, if I lose my glasses, I'll be petting a rat. I'll be taking someone's home in a phone booth. I'm gonna be trying to give a cashier's check for some hot dogs. Like, this is serious business.
I love that the homeless woman next to her happens to have the exact same prescription as her because she puts
it's
on the glasses and she's like, ah, I'm just having to steal the right glasses.
I've been stuck here for 20 years, but now I can see. I gotta go.
Thank you, Brenda. All right, so we're going to do the plot of the movie in under 3 minutes.
Here we go.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Who's starting?
Ben starts.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
In 4, 3, 2, 1, Begley.
We start off with the most adorable singing montage of Elizabeth Shue because she's excited for her date with Brad or something, maybe.
Brad.
It's Bradley Whitford, so I'll call him Brad. She's super excited. She's singing, and cause he kissed me.
He is so cool.
And then
he
shows up to the door. He has a license plate. So cool. And he's like, my sister's real sick, you know. Well, girls like you come by once in a million. So then she's bummed. She gets a job babysitting that night instead for Sarah. And then her name's Chris.
Brad's the brother.
I don't know what Bradley Whitford's. He's douchebag. Mike, yeah. So Brad and Sarah and Daryl. Brad's supposed to go hang out with Daryl, but then Daryl wants to stay over because he has a crush on Chris, Elizabeth Shue's character, because he thinks she's the Playboy model. There's this rumor that she's the Playboy model. And so now she's stuck babysitting these kids. Somebody else take it.
Go, Megan.
Oh, God. She gets a call from her friend Brenda, who's at a train station, who's tried to run away, couldn't run away. I don't know. There's a situation going on. And it's freaking out because it's going to cost her too much to get her in a taxi and take her home. So she decides she's going to drive with these kids and go into the city, the big, scary city. And she has to take the friend, too, because the friend's like, well, I don't know, the parents be okay with this, and so she gets blackmailed into that.
Right,
and they start driving into the scary Chicago, and
they tell a ghost story.
And they tell, oh, there's a ghost story about a man with a babysitter, a hook, or a kid,
and it rips faces off.
Yeah, and then the tire explodes, and they have to pull over to the side of the road. Dude shows up whistling. Wants to help them, has a hook, so they're all terrified, of course. And then he turns out to be the nicest guy ever and wants to help them.
But in the meantime, when he does help them, he finds out from the guy that works on the garage that his wife is cheating on him.
Such a great tangent.
U-turns a tow truck.
He's the best character in the movie.
Oh, yeah. He just plows through the front yard, and in like most John Hughes movies of Christmas, he hits that guy, the little thing.
Yeah, the little...
He goes in there and immediately starts opening fire, because that's what one does in a bad part of Chicago.
But misses.
He misses
terribly. Then shoots the window out. Then they take off in a Cadillac that's being stolen by a guy. They go to that guy's garage. Those guys are somehow putting the things together. We got a lot of movie to go over.
Yeah, yeah.
Still oh, my
so
God.
Then they get stuck in the office because the carjackers are like, we're going to deal with them after we talk about the jobs around town. But then the Philly job has been written, like we said before, on the Playboy centerfold. The kids, Daryl grabs the Playboy. They go out on the rafters. They escape. The car thieves go after him. They end up in a jazz bar where nobody leaves
blues
you without
bar.
Singing the blues. Yeah, sorry. Baby, sitting blues. Then they leave there. They go from there, and they end up on a subway train, right? And then there's a knife in it. I skipped something, maybe. Knife in his foot. Nobody fucks with the babysitter.
Yeah.
They end up to the hospital.
Right.
And then the hospital, your friend is dead. Oh, right. No, I messed up. Right. And then...
The people come back from, holy cow, 30 seconds left. Okay, so...
you got this.
The people come looking for him, and so they're going crazy. They know that their dad's in this one part, but they somehow...
Mechanic.
Yeah, they go to the mechanic's place
Thor.
To get the car. Thor is there. It's Vincent D'Onofrio. It was really nice. Got a long blonde wig. Kind of weird looking. They get in the car... And,
office building.
Yeah, they get to the office building. No, they
Eight
go
seconds.
To the office building because the sister, and then there's toys, and they're on the thing, and they go
and
then
left,
they get back, and they got out of the thing, and
they're
at home.
I'm fairly certain there wasn't a full sentence the last 10 seconds of that. It was like, and then there's a thing, and then there's this, and then fly home.
I mean,
so
yeah.
In case you didn't know, at the end of the movie, what happens is... They get chased down an alley because Sarah goes off after they go and confront Mike, who's cheating on...
Let me ask you guys a personal question. Have you ever been in an alley?
Yeah.
I run down an alley every night, yes.
Really?
I've been in an alley, yes.
Like, I want to be in an alley where, like, and then... in a car and then a high-speed chase.
I actually,
it's not as exciting as you imagine.
I was filming years ago just a little project I was working on in high school. In an alley in downtown L.A.
Wow.
And I saw a guy coming up, and it looked like he had a shiny silver gun in his hand, and we booked it. We were terrified.
Oh, no.
And the first thing I thought of was, Adventures in Babysitting.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have come to downtown.
So much of our lives just goes right back to this movie.
Yeah. It really is the quintessential remembrant of, like, because there's so many different parts of it.
Don't you mean Rembrandt?
Yeah, it's a Rembrandt.
It's why
of
I don't
movie.
Trust guys when they say, like, my little sister's sick, I have to stay home.
I don't
trust any of
jerk.
That.
No.
And
Mike.
His girlfriend in
Ooh.
Gross face McGillicuddy. No offense to that actress.
Her name, by the way, was Sesame Bleck.
Sesame Plexer.
Sesame.
Sesame Plexer. Oh, no. He's with Sesame Plexer?
Oh,
she's
damn.
Such a sleaze.
Sleaze. We don't use the word sleaze enough
no,
anymore.
Don't.
Sleaze or skis. Remember skis?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Man, I love...
They definitely use some questionable terms in this movie.
Oh,
homo?
A lot.
When he's like, my brother thinks you're a homo. And Vincent D'Onofrio's like, you spreading rumors about me? Because there's like a hint of like the
homophobia.
Fact that maybe he with the giant blonde wig and
he could be.
He's
like,
a stud
like a,
in this
there's
movie.
A little joke between Elizabeth Shue and her friend about spiking her mom's tab with Drano. There's like a whole like, are you like trying to kill your stepmother kind of thing going on? She's very casual about it.
Very strange.
Interesting.
She picks up the phone. She's like, did you spike your mom's tab with Drano? And she's like, no, I'm in a train station. Oh, you're in a train station.
That's the first guilty moment for me is the inciting incident for this entire movie is the call from Brenda. And Brenda's call, I don't mind because this movie's perfect in my opinion, but it's hilarious because they should have, I guess they infused with what you're saying, spiking the tab with Drano that she doesn't like her mom. So that's why she ran away. But there's no real hint that she's going to run away until she calls and she's like, I ran away from home and I have no money. I spent all the money on a cab.
And bring Brenda back. To the thing, and he's just like, get out of here, Brenda! Like, they don't even resolve her family issues.
Does she live in the neighborhood, or does she have to now find another way home?
Go back to your home where you ran away from, you idiot! See ya!
And let's talk about how this entire night could have been avoided if Elizabeth Shue could just spare $40.
Yeah. Also,
which she had to pay in the end anyways. She had to pay the $50.
Yeah, she had to pay
$45.
Ah. But they learned something. They had the most fun night of their lives.
They did.
And so far,
also,
as Daryl says.
What the one kind of big plot hole is the fact that Mike, the boyfriend, is like 45 and drives a Camaro.
Bradley
he's supposed to be in a
I feel
high
like Bradley
school.
Whitford, first off, he's awesome.
Yeah,
but
he's
I feel
best.
Like he's never looked younger than 30.
No.
Ever.
No.
I feel like he was 12 and looked 30.
Yes.
He was wearing a sweater vest in the second grade.
But he doesn't age either. He looks the same now as he did in this movie.
And in Billy Madison.
He died at 30. Yeah. He's a vampire. He's been around for a long time.
Oh, that's a pretty good call.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about
that. Just going to put it out there.
Vampire Bradley Whitford.
Just a little bit of a little thought.
I like it.
Little thought.
Little thought for you.
Oh,
my God.
Now, okay.
There's so many.
I love how
things.
Much popcorn you have in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm double fisting a coffee and a water, and you're double fisting the popcorn.
Yeah.
And that's my Blu-ray of Adventures in Babysitting, by the way, everybody.
Right here.
That's impressive.
I own it on Blu-ray. It's a 25th anniversary edition. They spared no expense by putting absolutely no special features on it.
Oh, we totally glazed over the fact that she meets fake Paul Rudd at the
Scandal, which I realized. Yeah.
He's a really successful actor.
Face.
I'm glad you thought that same thing, too, because as soon as he showed up, I was like, wait a minute, that's 80s fake Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Doesn't he look like Paul Rudd?
He does. Yeah. He does a lot.
And he's so charming like Paul Rudd.
Oh,
and
he's
then
great.
There's the fake Anthony Michael Hall with the like the curly mullets.
Yeah, yeah. Who's like, hey, what are you doing with my girlfriend?
Yeah, and then like the so 10 other frat guys that all look 40. They're like,
when the one guy says, hey guys, I must be drunk
because
I see
magazine, right?
I like, see a talking what? Penis. It's yeah. like, what?
How's that now?
How many penises have you seen with like a giant red head of hair at the top of it?
This scared me for college parties as a kid.
Did it?
I was like, I don't want to do this.
That's something I find really interesting about this movie. We were talking about this a little bit beforehand where on the surface, this movie could be, by today's overly politically correct standards, be deemed somewhat racist in parts because it's these four white kids that go to the city.
And we're from the suburbs.
And we're from the suburbs,
that.
And everybody in the city is pretty much a minority. But the cool thing is, almost everybody who is a minority is super cool to them.
Yeah.
Like the all African American blues bar, they love them.
Yeah.
The even the carjacker is super nice, and the main bad guy is a creepy old white guy. But then the only people that are jerks are the frat boys, who are a whole slew of douchebag white guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was, like, an intentional thing. By today's standards, it would be intentional.
Well, it's like the...
Columbus was just putting that in there.
Yeah. Right. Well, Chris Columbus comes from that National Lampoon...
Yeah.
Chris Columbus, John Hughes kind of school of, like, everything shot in Chicago, everything kind of based around Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're probably making fun of frat guys all of college, so just keep the trend going and make fun of them.
But I thought that was really cool to subvert those stereotypes where it's like, oh, shit, it's a carjacker. And then it's like, oh, he's actually he's one of the heroes.
I shipped Elizabeth Shue and the carjacker. Like, I wanted them together so bad. And I still do. Watching it, I'm like, they would be the best couple.
And we don't know what happens to the carjacker. Does he just stay in a life of crime?
I mean, I don't know.
Here's the thing. In the real world, he would be on the run from those people because they would murder him. Because he left his one boss hanging off the side of a... The guy sees him. And he's like, help!
Yeah.
And then he punches the creepiest white bad guy ever.
Yeah.
Take the Brady Bunch upstairs.
That scene. Yeah,
he sounds like the ass to ass guy from Requiem for a Dream.
Your face.
Don't ever
everywhere.
Bring Requiem to a Dream into this situation.
He sounds like that creepy
How
guy.
How from Adventures of Babysitting to Ass to Ass?
Yes,
that was,
exactly.
That
I'm
was
saying
the
it's
transition.
The same voice. Ready,
okay.
listen.
Who? Keith.
Ready, listen. It's this. It goes, take the Brady Bunch upstairs. Or ass to ass. It's the same guy.
Ben. Okay, you're going to need
check
a timeout.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
20-second timeout
for Ben. I
didn't
bring up ass to ass on
Thanks,
this,
Megan.
On this
Thank
for
you.
Once.
Thank
so
you so
you're
much.
Welcome.
We did have children listening to this.
Yeah, Jesus, Ben.
Sorry. Hashtag bad Begley.
I like to believe that if there was a sequel to this movie, that it would start off with her breaking up with this Paul Rudd dude, and then this carjacker coming back into her life.
Yeah.
And a lot of really good sex. That's what I like to imagine.
That just trendy.
Like
50 Shades of Grey, but good.
Yeah, the plot's not important. Exactly.
Okay. So, you don't really see the mom stands for the beginning of the movie and then the office party.
I still think it's so funny how offended and hateful you were towards my comment.
Yes, I'm very offended
and
hateful, Ben.
I didn't mean to taint this movie.
You're not tainting the movie. You're bringing up an anal raping scene at the end of one of the most destructive movies that has ever been made.
I was just equating the bad guy in this for how creepy he is to being as creepy as another character who has one line in another movie.
Ben, comparing Adventures of Babysitting to Requiem for a Dream
is
like
dwell
comparing
on it.
Pancakes to a sledgehammer on your foot.
But, like, that could be a really good, like, college paper, though. Like, a film college paper, like, comparing Adventures of Babysitting to Requiem for a Dream.
Megan's got
nothing like an indie Megan Tonjes idea.
I would be interested in that thesis, for sure.
That's like something that they would do in PCU, except an intelligent version of PCU, where you can major in Game Boy.
PCU was intelligent.
I liked PCU.
I love PCU.
Yeah.
Anyways, so what were you saying before
back
I interrupted?
Back to ass.
Hashtag back to ass.
I thought you were on my side, Tonjes.
I mean, you know, I'm here.
When the mom is at the dinner party and there's only like 20 people and then she goes,
the fanciest office party.
Lan Alexander, University of Pennsylvania, 1968. He's like, no.
How did she not know?
You've been at this party for 4 hours for with 20 people at your husband's office. Of course you're going to know everybody there.
And then how she goes
I like
up to...
she's sleeping with that man.
Yes.
And that she had to make like a big show. But I have all these alternate theories of things that are happening.
Let's
I think that they're having an affair and that she had to make that scene so that her husband wasn't, you know, was a little wary or not wary of it.
And he's like, honey, what? No, that's not the
I haven't seen him since college. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They're fucking. For sure. Like, I don't know if I can say that word, but we talked ass to ass, so now I'm saying.
You get caught checking out somebody and you're with your significant other and you're like, I thought I knew that person.
That's what she's doing.
I thought I knew them.
Oh.
He looked familiar.
Erica or something, yeah.
Yeah, right?
The funny thing, though, now is that once you're with somebody for so long, you can both be like, yeah, that person's attractive. Yeah. Either sex, you know? You're secure enough. So
yeah,
you're like,
of course.
All right, Jon Snow, but Khaleesi's going to come on screen any minute now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What does the dad do? I have so many questions. I'm like, what these people do.
The mom
That's a
gets,
nice house.
Really nice house.
And the mom just gets drunk and comments on the food at the party.
Yeah. Just one month. My diet starts next week.
And I'm dressed like an Oscar.
All the cliches. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the dad has, like, my dad had the same thing, like, that white silk scarf that served no purpose
no
other
purpose.
Than to look like Indiana Jones.
Because they never wrapped it to, like, keep their neck warm. And
no.
Just, like...
Not to keep you warm.
And he's in the coat closet whistling himself, like, yeah, jacket time.
Gotta get my jacket in the coat closet.
Yeah, that's basically what he's singing. And then the entire party, listen... I've never been to a party, per se, on, like, the top floor of an office building in Chicago with all
People
glass.
People are looking out windows.
Correct. What is the draw of that place? The windows.
The view.
And no one ever sees.
Allie was taking selfies in front of it. Like, they were
that
definitely talking.
That girl is on that window for upwards of 9 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That, in an office party, that is an age.
The minute you
nobody
see movement
noticed.
Outside, for sure, you're, like, there just makes no sense. It makes no sense.
That's the whole.
Especially when she's tapping on it going, Mom, Dad, like nobody. They're all just that hammered.
They're all just like, I gotta get one more order. My day starts tomorrow.
That's your best impression you've done on this show.
The mom? Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks.
I love the, I love, what's his name? The hook guy. Pruitt.
Pruitt. Handsome John Pruitt.
You worked it out.
Handsome John Pruitt is so good in this movie.
He's amazing.
Now listen, I don't like wrestling. I don't watch wrestling. I don't care for it. And I know a lot of my friends will hate me for saying this. But if I was a wrestler, that would be my name.
Handsome John Pruitt.
Yeah.
He's so
good.
Fun.
Would you have a hook?
Oh, yeah. obviously.
I'd
drive in on a tractor trailer and shoot at my
competition.
Oh, my God.
I would watch wrestling if that happens.
I just love how... Every plot point that happens in this movie seems very random and just like that they get helped by this hook guy and like we were saying how he's like, what? She's with that bastard again? And it's just like, it's so fun. It's so fun.
It's adventures.
Exactly.
It's an adventure.
In babysitting.
Okay, the entire movie, the little girl won't leave Chris's side.
Yeah.
No.
And they drive by one toy store that is obviously closed.
Yeah.
And she decides to disappear, knowing full well
getting
they
a little baklava
get
on the way first.
a little French pastry, if you will. At shit, what was the restaurant
the
called?
It just turns into Home Alone.
It does.
It turns into she's the next Home Alone.
Yeah.
It's
Ooh,
a little,
how great would that have been if
that
she
would
was
have been
Home
great.
Alone?
It's a little Warriors too in the train. I mean, it's dead on a ripoff of the Warriors,
oh, yeah,
which
for
is
sure.
so good when they all
you get past Devereaux Street, you're dead. When
oh
the subway's
God.
Rolling through my turf, it's in my turf. And then all of those the switchblades, and then each other one has like a chain, a metal pipe.
Nobody fucks with the Lords of Hell.
No.
Oh no.
We got that sound clip. We should play that Nobody Fucks with the Babysitter.
Let's go into some sound clips.
Do we have Nobody Fucks with the Babysitter?
Yeah, of course.
Nobody Fucks with the Babysitter.
No?
J-Bones?
Maybe.
I've not seen it.
What?
Ooh.
I emailed it.
I sent you upwards of 10 clips.
How do we only have 8?
It's okay.
I'll show you.
We'll show you the email.
We'll kill some time right now while Nobody Fucks with the Babysitter.
Nobody Fucks
so
with the Babysitter.
I got one that has 10 attachments, but, like, it's two different things. It's just 8 clips that I got.
Huh.
So let's check this out.
I will email it to you again right now.
All right, go for it.
This is Dead Time on the Air. The Cougar talk about something else with Megan.
How's the puppy doing over there?
She's great.
Here? She's chilling.
We have a dog
here
today.
There's a dog in the studio.
And she's the world's most beautiful dog. And I'm going to steal
Margo.
Her. Yes, I'm going to steal her from Megan. That's going to be hysterical.
That's fine. It's nice to have babysitters for the dog.
The thing about the ending of this movie
yeah
shows
which is you know the classic is that she's that car is now perfect. First of all,
yeah.
Have you ever gotten like broken your windshield? It takes the dealership like 2 or 3 days to fix the windshield.
It takes like 20 minutes.
And I've never been to a mechanic shop like under a bridge.
No.
Where's the advertising for that?
You know, it's just it's a friend of a friend of Handsome John Pruitt's. And I don't know.
I tell you though that Vincent D'Onofrio has never looked more studly than in this movie.
He is handsome as all hell. The crazy thing is the amount of body like images that Vincent D'Onofrio's had in his career are crazy.
Incredible.
He's stud with blonde hair. He's fat creepy in Full Metal Jacket. He's like creepy daredevil guy, and he's like huge in that. And then he's like skinny dad in what's the movie where the Thumbsucker? I mean, he's all over the place. Guy is one of the most versatile, most underrated actors in the history of American cinema.
I'll start with Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
He's so
Do you think this was this his first movie?
I can find out right now for you.
I don't know. It had to be early on.
It was super early on because
that blonde hair was not around. That blonde wig was not around for long.
That blonde wig was brutal.
Oof.
I thought it was real hair, guys. It looks so real.
It did look really
so real. Here I'm looking.
That's actually a pretty good Halloween costume because it's really easy. It's just jeans, the shitty blonde wig, a trucker hat, and a hammer.
Full Metal Jacket was before. It was the same year as Full Metal Jacket. He was in this.
Okay.
Wait, so he was pretty heavy in Full Metal.
He was huge.
How did he do that?
He's a man.
Well, maybe they were filmed at different times.
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket. Kubrick was known for filming way.
Full Metal Jacket was like a 2-year process.
Yeah,
and he was only in the beginning.
He probably
of the
lost
movie.
A bunch of weight during that process. And then
out of stress.
Out of stress.
Do we have the clip?
We're all in
how
a world of shit.
Almost there.
Beautiful.
All right.
The man from Memphis, aka Jonathan.
Everything in this movie, I want to go for Halloween. Like I was looking at Chris's jacket.
Yeah, I never thought of this. This is a great Halloween.
This would be great. Like as a cast, we would just like go as the different characters.
Yeah.
Brad, the little girl.
He's like, I love your jacket. Is my mom's? Your mom's?
Oh,
great.
it's my grandfather's or something.
Oh, yeah.
He died.
Yeah,
he's
dead.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, what?
It's also so funny
he
when he's like,
die in the jacket.
Yeah, no.
It's also so funny when he's like, can I take your jacket? And then he like goes and like almost like knocks her over because he's so nervous.
All right, yeah. Yeah. Here
all right.
We go.
Right. Cool.
Okay. Beautiful.
Don't fuck with the babysitter.
Listen,
yeah. I didn't hear that for the first 7 years of my life.
I want that
my
to be my text message
my,
sound.
Yeah.
Don't fuck,
don't
with, the
fuck
babysitter.
With the babysitter. Oh.
Don't fuck with the babysitter.
She sounds really tough there. That's like a Scorsese delivery of don't fuck with. Can we hear that again?
Don't fuck with the babysitter.
That is intense.
Get a little turned on. Fuck. Each time.
She probably did like 30 rounds of that, and that was the last one, and she was just done for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't fuck.
Here's the thing. I was a big... Sweet Valley High fan.
Oh
also,
my God.
Also a big Babysitter's Club fan.
Yeah. Oh
as you
God.
Will.
Still yes. My own
and, I'm reading some of the Babysitter's Club. And there was this douche I went to high school with. His name is Jimmy Park. And he was always stealing people's stuff. He's in jail now. It's fine. And
that makes it worse. So when he gets out.
Yeah, I'm dead. Somebody, he's probably watching this in jail right now. This is the
Someone's
only station
posting
they get
this on his Facebook
YouTube.
Wall.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. And... And he stole my Babysitter's Club book. It was the third grade. I was pissed. So I walked right up to him. I took a fork from the cafeteria. I shoved it in his meatloaf and I said,
don't fuck with the babysitter.
You know what's funny? I
was hoping it was his leg.
I used to babysit when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And when I was like 12, I was babysitting this kid named Eric down the street. And he kept watching Angels in the Outfield over and over and over again. And I wanted to watch X-Men the Animated Series because I was still into that. And it was on, and at the time, they didn't
was
have
it. Was this like 2 months ago?
I mean, yeah, it was two months ago. So it was on at 11:30 a.m. on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. I forgot to VCR to tape it on my VCR at home. That was the only time in the 80s you could get it. There was no such thing as DVR or playback on the internet.
Yeah.
So I had to watch it then. He wanted to still watch Angels in the Outfield. I put on X-Men the Animated Series. He switched it back to Angels in the Outfield. I looked at him, and I said,
don't fuck with the babysitter.
And I put on the episode where it was Enter Magneto, episode 3, X-Men the Animated Series, true story.
I don't have anything to top that.
Minus the F word.
Let's go to the creepiest thing.
The babysitter.
The creepiest moment of the whole movie is, Brad.
Oh, Brad.
Okay. That is the even, sister.
Even as a child, I remember being like,
what the hell?
Comfortable.
The worst ADR. Like, that was the best thing they could get from, because that's clearly ADR'd in there.
Oh,
and that was the
Brad.
Best thing. Play that again for us, Jonathan. Can we get that one more time? And just
that is the most for sexual.
For the peanut gallery, one more time.
And for the context of this clip, she's just been pulled up on a rope. by everyone, not just Brad, mm-hmm. by the carjacker, Elizabeth Shue, yep. and Daryl, mm-hmm. and Brad. And Brad.
There are a lot of questionable relationships going on in this movie.
And yeah, she gets pulled up, and that's her reaction to
that,
Brad.
Yeah, that made me feel uncomfortable. There's like... There's a moment between like Brad and the friend, too, that I was like, oh, all of a sudden I want them to get together now. I get this.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we have Brad
chasing. What moment was that?
I think it was during that scene. I think they just look at each other like they think one of them was about to die or something. Yeah. There's like a moment where there's no talking and they just stare at each other, very happy to see each other.
It's very bromantic.
And I would make a fan video for it. Ooh, almost knocked that over.
I'm obviously a big Brad Pitt fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Brad.
But I'm even an even bigger Brad Lee Cooper fan.
Mm-hmm.
And
Brad
I
Lee
saw,
Cooper.
I saw him at the premiere for American Sniper last year.
God.
And we were sitting by each other, and when he got up to go to the bathroom, obviously I got up to go to the bathroom. And I went over, and he was going to the bathroom, so I was like washing my hands for a really long time. And I leaned over to him as he was washing his hands, and all I could say into the man's ear was,
it's funny you mentioned Brad Pitt,
yeah,
because they released a new trailer for By the Sea,
uh-huh.
because they're trying to get people to actually go see the movie.
As opposed to the 8 that went?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's all music still. It's mm-hmm. it's that whole, what song is it in the By the Sea trailer? It's
The Verve Pipe Bittersweet
Symphony.
Yeah, it's very melancholy music. And at the very end, Angelina Jolie's character, she's smoking a cigarette, and Brad Pitt comes in just like, you know, these tight little shorts, and his mm-hmm. abs are showing, and she looks at him and just goes, still nobody's seeing the movie, though. Mm.
The visual of you two doing the voiceover for a little girl saying that is the creepiest thing I've ever
It's creepier
seen.
Than what I said earlier with Requiem.
Yeah, no, it's you know what? It's all coming
Tied.
Together. It's creating the creepiest episode ever.
Yeah, Megan, didn't you? I think you were telling me that a couple of years ago you were dating a guy named Brad.
This is a trigger.
And you had like
I wrote a song about avoiding Brad.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You could go on.
I don't want to. I made merch about a boy named Brad. There's mm-hmm. a t-shirt that says #SorryBrad, because that's how I deal with my feelings. I just try to pay rent with them.
Oh, smart.
So, you know.
But was there a moment when you called him on his phone and said,
there is. I texted it with a lot of emojis, a lot of winky face emojis.
I feel like we can send you that sound clip and you can
I would
make...
love... You're fucking up my whole life right now. I feel it.
Should we move on to another
Please,
sound?
Yeah, no, email me all of those.
Let's move on, let's move on to you. Another one. What do we got?
You slip me the cash, and I'll slip you the wiener.
Now, oh, out of context.
Now, I know, obviously, that the writing there was all supposed to be tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But the way that scene was delivered, without, like, that's what she said kind of moments, they were both just legit talking about it was really, wiener. Really good. Can we play that again?
You slip me the cash, and I'll slip you the wiener.
But I don't have any cash. Then I don't have a wiener.
Well, then we've got that. We've got that next part. I don't have a wiener.
Oh, my bad.
Then I don't have a wiener.
You know what? Actually, you know how I'm afraid of... When I was a kid, not a kid, but when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I was pretty afraid of sex. I was raised by my mom, who was a nurse. I thought that it would lead to... She basically told me it would lead to STDs and pregnancy. So I get herpes and a baby out of it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the first girl I dated that we were about to do the funky thing... That's what I called it, too, probably why I didn't get laid much. The funky thing.
Oh, Brad.
Oh, Brad. I was like, hey, so have you had, like, an STD check or anything lately? And she was like, well, yeah, but I don't know the paper. And I was like, well, I... kind of got to see the paper first. And she's like, I don't have the paper. And I was like, well, then I don't have.
Then I don't have a wiener.
Yeah. I mean, I did have a wiener, but not a wiener for her.
Then that was awful.
I'm a musician, not a comedian. I'm just going to be here all
Makuga, the worst part about it is that's not too far from
the
truth.
The fact that you asked her for her papers, like you were the guy getting
Give
the tickets
the
in Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. He didn't have a ticket and kick him
off.
Yeah,
let me see
I totally made that up. That never happened.
No.
He doesn't look for papers.
I love Frankfurters. I love sausages. Mm-hmm. But I was a huge supporter of the Matthew Wiener campaign back in the day. And when he got in a lot of trouble, I was really upset. I had been taken for a ride by this politician.
Yeah.
And I went to his house. And his wife was there. And she had a knife in his hand. And I heard him in the background screaming,
you slip me the cash, and I'll slip you the wiener.
Close. It's the other one.
I don't have a wiener.
Correct.
You know what? The other clip that was played, I I remember when I first moved out here, I was walking out, I was walking by 2020 Video that used to exist, and there was a guy who approached me, uh-huh. and I thought he was just going to sell me a CD or something, and he started kind of he winked at me and he gave me a little of this thing, and then he said to me,
"You slip me the cash, and I'll slip you the wiener."
Yeah.
And then it turned out that, but what I didn't notice is that he had a friend with him who had one of those hot dog carts. So I just read into it wrong. The danger dogs.
Megan, we know you're
I like
very,
looking
very
into your eyes while you guys are lying. It's beautiful. Like, I just like to see the, you are very joyful in yours, and you are dead inside.
I'm dead inside because you know why? Every time I suck at it.
You're looking straight ahead. Like,
every time
see.
I'm like, gotta figure it out. Gotta figure out how to make this funny. Gotta beat Makuga this week. I beat you one week. One week I had a good one.
Megan, you're a very talented musician. All the people out there who watch you on YouTube or watch you wherever, see you live, who listen to your podcast, you're a very, very talented musician. Could you sing us a version of "Oh Brad," and we could remix "Oh Brad" in there? We get a little.
She's so good at it, though. Like, how do I even make this better?
We could.
Oh Brad.
And we could just
or the Babysitting Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Babysitting Blues would be pretty good.
Can we play the Babysitting Blues?
Babysitting Blues. I've got the
Babysitting Blues. And she's doing this the whole time.
Blues. Baby,
Babysitting Blues. Babysitting Blues.
Okay. Now, here's what we want to do. We want to take the Babysitting Blues.
Yeah.
And we want to put the "Oh Brad" over top of it. Can we layer that, Jonathan?
We're making Jonathan work today.
I mean, sort of. I mean, let's go for it.
All right, let's try it.
Babysitting Blues.
Oh Brad.
Babysitting Blues. Babysitting Blues.
Oh, that mashup works so
Jonathan,
well.
Jonathan, well done. Yeah. Really well
you put
done.
Skrillex on this remix, it's going to be out of control.
Oh, my God.
Now, there's a couple other clips up there we have. What do we got up there, Ben?
We got Stitch. I don't know. Let's play them all. Let's riff on them. See what we got.
One Stitch.
One Stitch?
Oh, yes, one Stitch.
My only shot at ever being in a gang fight, and all I get is one Stitch. Chris is going to think I'm a total failure.
That was a long one, but
that guy is like the I don't even think he's really Indian. He seems like a white guy doing an Indian accent. Yeah.
Looks like a white guy. Yeah,
it looks very much like what's his face in Fisher Stevens in Short Circuit 2.
Yes,
Johnny Number 5 is alive, and you're like, ooh, so is racism in this movie.
The '80s just took carte blanche with race. Yeah. Period. They were like, listen, white guy's got a good accent. Just throw a little shade on him. Like, all right, dude, take it.
Johnson Heston it. Touch of People style.
Yeah.
All Adventures in
Can you play the Dr. Newt?
Dr. Newt Fang. The guy with the stab wounds just died.
Okay.
They named him Newt Bang.
Newt Bang.
Yeah.
There's so many good characters in this movie. And Doctor's
Newt Bang,
great.
Sesame Plexer.
The one-offs and the not like over the top acting is what sells them too.
Yeah.
Oh dear. They're in that
even
shady
Handsome Joe
hospital.
Pruitt. Yeah. Handsome Joe Pruitt's very understated.
Handsome John Pruitt.
Sorry, guys.
Christ, Begley.
I want an entire movie about Handsome John Pruitt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want it now.
HJP.
I want to know how he lost the hand. I want to know this girlfriend situation, why she's been cheating, what's going on there. And I want a redemption story.
And I really would like to see the hand in the jar in his glove compartment.
Yes, I would like to see
great.
That too.
That was so good.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The legend of
Listen,
Hanson
if
John
I Bruce. Lost an appendage, a hand, a
keep
toe.
Keep it with you.
Always.
Yeah.
Put it in a jar, put it in formaldehyde, keep it forever.
Why around your neck. You? Wear it around your neck. Fuck it.
That's
actually Flava Flav style.
But like a
there's probably an Etsy shop. There's probably an Etsy shop you could find something.
Yeah, they sell appendages on Etsy.
Yeah,
I'm looking for a mustache comb and organs in jars. Thank you, Etsy. Do we have any more
Nothing
clips?
Creepy about that.
If you're dead, I wish I was with you.
Whoa, intense. Heard of Brenda. Yeah, that was from the hospital.
That was not one of mine. Mine were better.
You kids must be from the suburbs.
Yeah. Dude, he did have a creepy laugh.
Yeah.
And everybody in this show, like, or in this movie, had, like, over-the-top laughs at points.
Oh, my God.
The friend was
Daryl?
Like, oh, Daryl's the worst.
When the tire blows and he just laughs for 5 solid minutes, it's like,
shut up.
How is it that funny that a...
I would have slapped him.
Yeah, me too. I almost slapped him through the movie screen.
Well, he's in the back seat, and he's just, like, messing with his friend. He's like, shut up. Like, stop. I get it. I get it. He's a playboy.
How many times does somebody go like this? They, like, hit their hand away. They are always like, stop it. Stop it.
How many times in movies in general...
That's what babysitting is.
Yeah.
How many times in movies in general can the people in the front seat not hear what's going on in the back seat? Mm-hmm. There's not that much distance.
No. No. It's not that hard.
You couldn't... They could hear this right.
Yes. My parents heard everything, and I had the way back in, like, the minivan. And they're like, what'd you say back there? I'm like, no.
My parents could hear in the Volvo station wagon where we were facing
the other way.
Which, I don't know if you did this as a kid, where we would just wave at people the whole time. And at first, they'd be like, oh, that's cute. And then, like, a 3-hour car drive, they're like, fucking stop waving at us, kid. We're like, we thought it was hilarious.
We've been next to you the whole time. We get it.
And that station wagon that they were driving in Adventures of Babysitting guaranteed it had one of those reverse back seats.
Oh, that's beautiful.
They just didn't utilize it.
Yeah.
Everything in that movie is my aesthetic. Everything.
I want to live in Adventures in Babysitting.
I want to go back into it, please.
I feel like next year for Halloween, we should all...
Yeah. I'm so in.
So you're Chris. I'll
be Chris.
The jacket.
I'll be the babysitter.
I'll get the blonde wig and be Thor. You were obviously Brad.
Nice is the timing.
Jonathan crushed that. He knew it was coming.
It's like you guys had a hive mind. You guys drifted Pacific Rim style.
We need like a young, shorter girl, like a, you know, like a 22-23-year-old girl.
My wife,
sister
Renee. Oh, she's short. She's like 5'8".
You could be siblings on Halloween.
Yeah, that's creepy. Mm.
Well, I mean, then it would make sense if Renee looks at me and goes, it'd be okay.
That was creepy.
I'm more interested in who's going to play the car thief.
Oh.
I'm fine.
Has that guy done anything? Because he's great in this movie.
He's incredible. I don't.
Yeah, IMDb that kid because he was really good.
So good. What was his name in it? He had a cool name too.
Did he?
Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibb.
Joe Gibb.
It was first off, in a P, I think. I
love that. He has such a nice smile.
The bad guys, he's so charming. Yeah. The bad guys in the movie always catch up with him because Joe Gibb is driving. Why didn't he just drive the other way so they never found him?
Right.
But it's because the creepy guy wanted to find the kids in the Playboy.
And even the other bigger black guy with the mustache, he seemed really nice. It was just the white,
it's just the
angry
one creepy
guy
white guy
that needed the Philly notes.
Which, by the way, when he gets his feet wrapped around by Elizabeth Shue, it's like he doesn't notice that there's a cable being wrapped around his legs. It's so brilliant.
Well, because the mom is talking to him about his last hors d'oeuvres.
It's just
my dad sucks next week.
His name is.
I love how drastic your face gets.
I know.
My dad sucks next week.
His name is Kelvin Levels.
Okay.
American film actor, 1984. He won a Theater World Award, was nominated for both the Tony Award for Best Performance by a Leading Actor in a Play and the Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Feature Actor to play for his portrayal of Calvin Jefferson in Open Admissions.
Get the hell out of here.
Levels is perhaps best known for his role in the films Adventures in Babysitting, Hellbound, and the Atlanta Child Murders.
That all sounds like it could be creepy sequels to Adventures in Babysitting.
And now what's he doing?
Adventures in Babysitting 2, Hellbound.
61?
He's from Cleveland, Ohio.
What? That's like my area.
There you go.
61? Midwest. How old was he in Adventures in Babysitting then? Like 35, 36?
He was born in 54.
Yeah.
Holy jeez. He looks young.
He
looks like he's 20.
He could have got it.
Don just had a crush.
What else we got?
Take the Brady Bunch upstairs.
Come on. You hear it now.
But yeah, of course I hear it.
I'm not going to say it again.
Do it again.
Make him say ass play.
What?
Do it one more time.
Take the Brady Bunch upstairs.
Do it. Now do it.
Take the Brady Bunch upstairs.
No. See, you're going to New York.
Take the Brady Bunch upstairs.
Take the Brady Bunch upstairs.
Take the Brady Bunch upstairs.
My name's mine's better.
Megan?
Take the Brady Bunch upstairs.
That's dead on.
Nailed it.
Pretty good.
Megan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Obviously.
I have so many other movies that I think could work perfectly.
Good.
You don't fuck with the babysitter. You don't fuck with GMP.
No.
You
know? Exactly.
Nobody.
Don't fuck with the babysitter.
With the GMP.
And listen, if your name is Brad and you're out there and some girl one time just says to you, can you consider yourself either extremely creeped out or extremely lucky?
Or both.
Or both.
At the same time.
I don't have a wiener.
Megan, where can everybody find you? What?
You can find me, Megan Tonjes, on Twitter and Instagram, and Tonjes on YouTube.
Yes, and Ben Begley, tell everybody.
You can find me at the Ben Begley on Twitter. The movie is funhousemassacremovie.com. At Funhouse Mass. I won't make the joke again. It's Twitter's character limit. It's a lame joke anyways. But go check it out. It's going to be in theaters through this week till Thursday in most cities, 20 select theaters nationwide. So go check your local showtimes. But also it'll stay in a few more next weekend. But go see it now while you can and tweet about it. Write a review on Flixer and Rotten Tomatoes. Let's keep beating Spectre in reviews. Yeah!
Congratulations again, Ben. Really enjoyed the movie. And again, Megan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for bringing little Margot. Guys, you can find me at Josh McCuga on Twitter and Instagram, YouTube channel, Between the Sheets TV. All week, or all month long, we are shooting Movember episodes. We're live from the Movember offices. Yeah, support the cause. Between the Stashes is my team. Donate. Tell people I didn't grow this mustache out to look like a creeper, although it just turned out to be. Thank you guys for watching. Until the next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.